Summer driving season is upon us. That's a combination of tons of traffic, all our roads under construction all at once, and a ton of accidents. That's summertime in Michigan. We have a ton of accidents, and if you are injured in one, injury attorney David Feminino and his team are ready to help you right now. It's simple. He doesn't take a fee until he wins your case. You could speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to that website anytime. Get David. GetPaid.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Dan, we appreciate your time. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good. This has felt like the longest offseason of our lives. Has it felt that way for you?
Yeah, I can understand why you'd say that. It's we've been ready for this or getting ready for this for a while. And, you know, spring, and man, you get to the end of spring, you feel pretty good with where you're at, for where you're at, and then training camp, and you know, you reach that point where you're like, man, it's time to go. Can we speed this up so we can get to the first one? So, I'm glad it's here.
How do you prepare for a team when there are so many unknowns? Yes, you have film from last year. Yes, you ended their season last year, but it's a new team. It's a new year. You guys are different. They're different. How do you prepare for, you haven't seen much of what they're going to do in the regular season and the preseason. What's the process like to prepare?
Well, I think what you do, first of all, you're going to take what you do well, you know, and what you feel like you've mastered through training camp. You're going to trust the players that have been the most consistent for you over a period of time, as well as training camp, and you're going to put those guys in position to make plays. All right, that's number one, which is that's about you, not the opponent. But when it comes to the opponent, I honestly feel like most of the work has been done through training camp. You'd like to believe that, and what I mean by that is you've tested each other enough on offense and defense, you know, the coordinators and coaches and players, you know, you're constantly trying to, you're trying to manipulate each other. You're trying to nitpick and find any weakness you can find in what they do, and I think it forces you to have to adapt, and which is really good, because when you get in these types of games, game one, exactly what are we going to get? Don't entirely know. We have a pretty good idea. They're not going to veer off from who they are necessarily, but they'll bring their own wrinkle. You know, this defensive coordinator, he's a new D coordinator, so he's going to have his own style. Does he like to pressure a little bit more? Does he? And so I think a number of it is, man, being able to adapt through camp and adjust and just attack each other.
Lions, Rams, Sunday Night Football, prime time to kick off the season again. You guys have 5 primetime games. What does it mean to get those primetime matchups, be thrust into that spotlight again this season?
Well, I feel like it's, I don't know, you know, to me, I'm like, yeah, I don't expect anything different, I guess. And I don't mean that as, you know, I don't mean that negatively, like overconfidence or something. I just, listen, we're playing good football, and we got a good squad, and, you know, we earned that. And so we're going to go out and put our best foot forward, and we'll be ready for this one. But I'm not like, oh, I can't believe 5 times again. I'm like, okay, let's go.
You guys have a track record of easing some rookies into duty and getting them comfortable and then giving them more as the season goes on. What are your plans for Terrion Arnold, and what are your expectations in week one for him?
Yeah, I think we do try to do that. You know, you want them to get a feel of this, but not throw it all at them at once. But I do think the cornerback position is a little bit different in some regards. And I think for him it was more about health. You know, is he healthy? Is he back from his setback that he had for just, you know, for a few days there, and he is. And so, listen, we're going to let him go compete. You know, that's really the plan here. Let's let him go. And he's gotten better all through camp. He really has. I mean, he's had significant improvement. Now, this will be his first game, and I don't think anybody expects it to be perfect, but I do know this: he's going to go out there and compete, and he's going to learn, and he's going to represent himself just fine. And it may not be perfect, but he'll be there for us. I love the way he's wired. I love the way he competes, and I love the way he's gotten better every day.
We're talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell ahead of the kickoff of the NFL season. DJ Reader, can you give us an update on where he's at and your expectations for him?
Yeah, Reader got, you know, this was his first big, really big week of practice, you know, padded up, going against our guys. And we've had him working on both sides, you know, our defensive side, but also scout team too. So he gets to go against Frank and those guys. Inside and that's really it's hey, let's take it day to day here and see where he's at. So, you know, he had a good day yesterday, and then obviously the guys were off today, and then we'll push it again tomorrow and just see where he's at. But he's doing well. He really is.
Do you expect him then to play on Sunday?
I honestly, it's day to day. I mean, I'll know a lot more after tomorrow, really.
You mentioned, you know, when you face a team at the beginning of the season, you rely on what you guys have mastered through training camp, what you feel confident in. What are some of those things that you feel extremely confident going into week one that will be effective for you?
Well, I don't really want to give away everything that we,
well, sure.
You know,
come on, John.
But I know this, we, you know, we're always going to want to be able to run the football. And I think that there's a few different style runs that fit us pretty damn well, and that we want to make them go, you know, until it's proven that they won't go, which I just don't believe is going to happen. But we know we need to establish the run, and I think we'll be able to do that. We do like multiple runs, though. We like multiple different styles, different schemes, and I think it's one of the things that makes us pretty good. And what we do now, you got to have smart guys. You got to have versatile guys to do it up front, which we do. This quarterback allows you to do a lot of things in the pass game that you can't do with everybody. So Goff, man, I just think his rhythm, his timing, his accuracy, and then the fact that, man, he's just got such a grasp of the playbook and what the defense is trying to do to him, that, you know, we're able to open things up much better. So I think the ability to get into some of the best plays available per look, and that's coming from your quarterback help, is going to help. You know, and then just there again, I know I'm kind of dancing around a little bit. I just don't want to start talking in specifics as to
sure.
Well, what we feel like we do best. But and then you can imagine the guys we want to get the ball to. I mean, I don't think it's a secret. We want to get St. Brown the ball, you know. We'd like to get LaPorta the ball. We want to get JMO the ball. We want to get Gibbs and Demo. So, you know, we got a lot of mouths to feed that can help us win. But we're going to do that.
Well, and when you guys have had the success that you've had, it's rare that you're able to retain both coordinators and your staff in general, or even add to it with great coaches like your defensive line coach. How much of an advantage is it? Because, and you've seen the development of this offense from year to year, are you able to go deeper into the playbook and be more creative and do more things simply because you have a relationship between Goff and Ben Johnson and they understand each other? He knows more about this offense than anybody. How much deeper are you able to go and be on both sides of the ball simply because you've been able to retain both coordinators?
I think it's huge. John, I think it's very important. And yes, I think we're able to go much farther. And I think the same way you could say that about being able to retain Ben and having Goff here going on year four, is the same as AG and Alex, for example. You know, I mean, Alex Anzalone's our quarterback on defense, but the fact that we've been able to retain AG And, man, we're into year four of this thing. And but just the evolution of it and how much more open we're able to do it. And then the personnel that's involved in it. And then Alex understanding exactly why we're calling what we're calling, what AG wants, why we're doing it. I think it's big, man, because you feel like, I mean, we had days out there now in training camp where you love it because it reminds me so much of, it reminds me there was, I remember in 09, man, I got there to New Orleans as a player. It was my last year. And, man, we're in spring, for goodness sakes. I'm not even talking about training camp. And to watch Drew Brees and Jonathan Vilma go back and forth at the line of scrimmage trying to outsmart each other. And everybody being in tune with what each one of them wanted and execute, man, it's a thing of beauty. And I felt that this camp, man, you watch Goff get up there, man, he's making the call, he's turning to protect. All of a sudden, Alex flips the pressure, and now Goff sees it coming. Do I have time to make the adjustment? And it's a thing of beauty. And that's like next level. And that's kind of where we've gotten to, where we've grown. And so to be able to have your coordinators, have guys that understand it, yeah, we can go further, man. And I think that's the point. It helps you as long as you're constantly trying to improve, though. I think that's where, you know, the sometimes what you can run into, it doesn't happen very much anymore, is when you have coordinators that have been together for a long time or a whole coaching staff, that's great. There's continuity. But if you just get stuck in the mud and do the same things every year, you get stale. And, man, our coordinators, they don't do that. Man, they're constantly looking for new ideas, new concepts, new ways to push the boundaries of what we can do. And that to me, is a sign of a damn good coaches. And that's what both our coordinators do. And Fit does that, too, on special teams.
Dan, if John asks you game plan questions, just hold a menu up when you speak to us. And then maybe yeah, they won't see it coming.
You were just waiting for that one, huh?
I was. But I liked hearing you be fired up about your team. I'm like, I'll let him go through all this because I can hear the passion. What has the reaction been to the Applebee's spot? Because everybody says you did a great job acting in it.
Well,
How many takes did it take?
The practice field yesterday, and I, you know, come in, my phone's on my desk, and, you know, turn it over, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm just blown up. And, you know, so the first thing you're thinking is, I hope there's not a death in the family. And then you realize it's, hey, I'll have the 50 cent wings from a cousin of mine, or, you know, and just it's endless, right? And it's like, oh, hey, nice one, man. You know, give me one of those wings. You know, so you're just getting picked at. I'm like, oh, God, they dropped the commercial. So anyway, it's all good. You know, that was my wife and my daughter, man, they talked me into it, and I said, all right, we'll do it. So it's out, it's done, and here we go.
Dan, last one from me. We get people who call in and wonder, this aggressive mindset, does it change at all with a new kicker and maybe an improved defense? Do you see any philosophical changes with some of the fourth down decisions you've made before?
Yeah, I think that's – listen, I'm going to be me at my core. It'll be hard to change that. However, I'll say it again, man, every game brings its own you know, its own ebbs and flows, and you get a feel of what the offense is doing, the defense, the quarterback over there, how our quarterback's playing, the kicker himself through the flow of the game, and I think you take it there. But as far as, is this going to make me have some crazy shift? I don't feel that way. I really don't. But there again, we'll each game is different, and we'll take it as it comes.
We are looking forward to this season, as I know you guys are, Dan. Good luck this season. Appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Lions head coach Dan Campbell. It's 97.1.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Summer driving season is upon us. That's a combination of tons of traffic, all our roads under construction all at once, and a ton of accidents. That's summertime in Michigan. We have a ton of accidents, and if you are injured in one, injury attorney David Feminino and his team are ready to help you right now. It's simple. He doesn't take a fee until he wins your case. You could speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to that website anytime. Get David. GetPaid.com.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Greg in Dearborn. You're on 97.1. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey. Oh, I just want to, Gator, man, I'm really sorry about your dad. I always liked all the stories that he would have where it seemed like if you were ever, like, in trouble, he would just be kind of, like, real cool about it, and it was just never, like, a big deal, you know?
No, he was great, and he is definitely missed. I appreciate your thoughts, Greg. Thank you.
And Gator got in a lot of trouble.
I did not get in a lot of trouble. I was a good kid for the most part.
But I was just calling regarding the question you had. I kind of – it's an overreaction, but I kind of just want Donovan Edwards to only get the ball passed to him out of the backfield. I've been kind of yelling this for, I don't know, maybe 2 years now. Mullings does kind of scare me because he kind of runs upright and he's got holds the ball like proverbial loaf of bread. I want to see just the fake, maybe one run to Donovan to keep him, you know, keep him true, and then pass it to him out of the backfield.
Well, he is the one thing that doesn't seem to have taken any steps backwards is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. And given their lack of explosive plays in the passing game, maybe he's more of a weapon moving forward in that regard. But I don't know what's happened. It's one of the great mysteries, because how a guy can just be either home run shot or 1 or 2 yards is really odd. There's just if he could just find, you know, maybe it's something about his running style, or he's not seeing the holes the way Kalel Mullings did, or Blake Corum prior to that. I don't know what it is. I'm not a running back coach, but it is odd, because he's had like probably 3 or 4 of the biggest runs in Michigan football history.
Right. And then I could definitely craft a win. You know, I'm not feeling 100% great on it, but whatever that offensive line pairing was in the fourth quarter when Kalel was just, you know, running down the field right down their throats, I think Crippen came in. But they could definitely build on that, and I believe Sharon knows that, and he can definitely make that happen and kind of slow the game down, churn it, maybe you know, hit the under and, you know, squeak out a home win.
Well, their defense is going to have to play great. Their offense is going to have to make big steps forward, take big steps forward. And I just, you know, Dominic Zavada in the kicking game is, you know, he's a weapon.
He's got a leg now.
Apparently out to 60. And they may need every bit of that weapon for this game. All right. So I promised we'd get to this. Gator, I saw this today, and then you got a little follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
The CBS Sports NFL writers, Prisco, Brinson, that whole crew.
Brinson.
They all made their picks, and they went through and they picked more than just the Super Bowl. But we get to Super Bowl winners and losers. All right? So you get the two teams they got going to the Super Bowl. And I've just seen more and more of this as we get closer and closer to the season. I will start with Prisco, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports. Super Bowl matchup, the Buffalo Bills and the Green Bay Packers. Prisco picks the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Will Brinson picks the Super Bowl matchup, the LA Rams and the Buffalo Bills. And he's got the Bills winning the Super Bowl.
All right.
Ryan Wilson's got the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions. The Lions win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my.
Way to go, Wilson. John Breach has the Lions and Bengals reaching the Super Bowl, with the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. Jared Dubin has the 49ers and Chiefs reaching the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs reaching the Super Bowl. And Tyler Sullivan has the Packers and Jets reaching the Super Bowl, and has the Packers winning the Super Bowl. So they got 6 writers. 2 of the 6 picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl. And Gator, you just found the story on The Athletic?
That's right. And a story from Mike Sando. They talked to 5 NFL executives who ranked the NFC teams.
Yep.
They ranked the AFC teams earlier in the week. This week, at this time, they did the NFC teams. So just ranking them 1 to 16. Number one, San Francisco.
This is the average? Or
four of the five execs had them number one.
Okay, so the average ranking for the five NFL executives as the 49ers is the number one team in the NFC.
That's correct.
Yep.
Number two, the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, so here we go again. Now, I expect Green Bay to be a very respectable outfit. Mm-hmm. Okay? But they have become, I almost want to say the favorite in the NFC North.
But here's where it's interesting. So they come in second on three of the ballots, fifth and sixth on the other two.
Yep.
The Lions are third. The Lions come in first on one of the ballots, second in two of the ballots, fifth in another, and then ninth.
Okay.
In the last ballot.
So Brad Holmes.
You think Brad Holmes is the executive was asked?
I think he's totally skewing this.
So the guy who has the Lions at ninth.
You've got his entire ranking, 1 to 16.
Number one, San Francisco. Number two, Green Bay.
Yep.
Number three, the Rams. Number four, the Falcons.
All right.
Number five, the Bears. Number six, the Commanders. Number seven, Seattle. Number eight, Dallas. And number nine, the Detroit Lions.
I just hope we find a way to win a game.
Exactly, right? So then it goes down and it has a little story on the Lions, and it says the exec slotting Detroit first in the NFC loves the way the Lions have built a four-down offense with an in-your-face ground game behind a strong line. It says, quote, there's a physical element to it. They marry their pass game to the run game really well, and that's really hard to defend. I think they've added enough pieces to the back end of their defense to at least be league average. And if you are that and you're still scoring points, then you are going to be a difficult team to deal with. Then it said the exec predicting the fall for the Lions and thought that the league would catch up to Detroit this season. He thought no team's offense had been studied as closely over the first two seasons as the Lions, and the defenses would be better prepared. It says, quote, they treat third down like second down. And that was something that became very public as they went deeper. Teams are going to pick up on that, and they play a tougher schedule, and there's more pressure on them, and we'll see what it looks like. So his reasoning is interesting, that he thinks that because the Lions were so successful offensively for the last couple of years, that no team has been scrutinized over more when it comes to game planning against. How do we stop this offense? How do we stop this offense? And he thinks that because they take so many of those chances on fourth down, that it's just going to catch up to them. I choose to disagree because I think Ben Johnson changes things up, and I don't think he's going to be all that predictable. I think the only thing you can predict is that, you know what? They can run the ball and they can throw the ball. Good luck defending it.
Right.
Like, okay, it's a great offense. We've studied it. Doesn't mean you can stop it. You know, the players are great. But as far as they treat third down like second down, I don't know.
Look,
we've talked about the addition of the kicker, how that might change things. We've talked about the defense being better, how that might change the thought process of Dan Campbell.
Well, I hope the Lions adopt the mentality of a scrappy underdog. Let me change that. Should the Lions adopt the mentality of the scrappy underdog, since it seems like Green Bay has become a super vogue pick? We got more people here with the CBS and the Athletic saying good. I mean, three people, correct me if I'm wrong, three people picked Green Bay of the five executives, took Green Bay as the second best team in the NFC.
That's correct.
Out of five.
Yeah.
And then two had the Lions the second best team, but the other one had the Lions first, right? So somebody had the Lions first and Green Bay second.
So those three guys had the Packers at second. One of them had the Lions one. The other guy had the Lions at five. And the other guy had the Lions at nine.
Five. So five and nine. Should they adapt the mentality of a scrappy underdog? Nobody thinks we can do this. It's not true that nobody thinks they can do it. Or should they just say, no, we're the bully. F you. We're going to do things our way. Bring it.
I mean, I be true to what you are. These guys know what they can do. They know what they're capable of. Dan Campbell knows his team better than anybody else. And he trusts in that team. Just go do what you do, man. Mm-hmm.
They act like they figured out like the Lions and that's it, right? Is that what the article is kind of saying? Like the
kind of like well, the team's been studying for 2 years and they're going to be they'll be able to figure it out.
Listen, first of all, people know that Dan Campbell liked to take some risk here and there. That was
a secret.
By the middle of the season, I don't think that was a secret anymore, especially in year three, right? It just makes you, it opens things up for the Lions. Doesn't mean you're going to stop them, but now you have to play the run and the pass? What, were you not doing that before?
Yeah.
Were you
not trying as hard on fourth down because they surprised you?
Oh, they might run on second down because they weren't going to be before? No. You still got to stop them. They still got all, I mean, yes, the NFL is about schemes, but the players have to execute the game plan. And the Lions have those players that have been in the system now. No Ben Johnson, no Dan Campbell. It's easier said than done. The league just caught up to the Lions.
But the Green Bay love.
Yeah, that's out of control.
Is it? It's out of control, isn't it?
I think it is, too.
It's what can I do that's different?
Exactly.
And it's expediting the love for them because they think they're going to be great soon. So I'm going to jump on board early. Is that what's going on here?
So here's a quote from one of those executives who ranked him second, Green Bay. Says, I'm a little hesitant because the quarterback needs to do it again, but they're going to run the football and they invest heavily in their defense. I think it's a good recipe. So you say you have major questions about or that you're hesitant that the quarterback can do it again.
But you're picking him in.
But you're going to pick him to be second. Well, you do you. Go ahead, big guy.
Yep.
Go ahead, Pete.
The Green Bay, look, that's cool. That's cool. I'm cool. I'm breezy. But yeah, it's getting out of control.
Summer driving season is upon us. That's a combination of tons of traffic, all our roads under construction all at once, and a ton of accidents. That's summertime in Michigan. We have a ton of accidents. And if you are injured in one, injury attorney David Feminino and his team are ready to help you right now. It's simple. He doesn't take a fee until he wins your case. You could speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. You can go to that website anytime. Get David. GetPaid.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
By the way, there's no truth to the rumor that the reason I'm in here for Mike Valenti is that he was suffering from massive problems after Wyatt Langford hit a grand slam walk-off to beat his Yankees last night.
It's funny because every now and then I did wonder how he felt about that. I didn't text him. I left it alone. Yeah. I figured this was on that do not call list.
Yeah.
Because he was all up in his feelings. It was Wyatt Langford, but it was a walk-off with Grand Slam
mm-hmm.
to beat his Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I left it alone. I'm like, you know what?
I know.
Maybe he's packing. I'm not going to bother him about that. I'm not going to be that guy. But that was – Dave is calling him right now.
No.
David's color. So, Mike.
It's funny because David, in the beginning of the show, we talked about, you know, what event would you really like to see if you could have a favorable outcome, whether it's Michigan beating Texas, the Lions beating the Rams, or the Tigers sweeping the A's and coming back home, you know, within 3 games, basically the wild card. And it just reminded me, I was on the East Coast for about 10 days. And being in Philly and New York, where all they're talking about, I mean, obviously they're talking about the Eagles and the Jets in New York a little bit. The Giants, unfortunately, suck. But for those people like Mike, those people. But you forget how fun a pennant race is. Every game. I mean, I got to Philly on a Tuesday. And you'd think that they're the worst baseball team of all time because they were a little bit of a slump. This Harper stinks. Schwarber can't do anything. And then the Braves come in and they did win 3 out of 4 from the Braves. And all of a sudden, they're great again. And it's like, that's the ups and downs.
That's why I hate the Phillies.
Yeah, well, that's the up, they're loud. It's the ups and downs of a pennant race that we miss. So I get what you're saying. It would be fun, but it also would be agita on every pitch.
Yeah. But that's what we sign up for when it's April in the D. We want to see meaningful baseball in September.
Yes.
All right. We asked a question earlier in the show. If you missed it, you can use the Odyssey Rewind, of which you could guarantee one thing would happen. You could either get the Tigers to win and sweep the A's, Michigan beats Texas, or the Lions beat the Rams. You can only watch one. The guaranteed outcome that you want happens. The other two, that's up for luck and debate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you missed that, you can use the Odyssey Rewind. I do want to focus in on the Lions, though, Stoney. Lions management has made no bones about it. They've come out and said it's Super Bowl or bust. They're not afraid of saying Super Bowl. They're not afraid of it at all. As a matter of fact, they're embracing it. They're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. A lot. They're the sexy, trendy pick. Lions to win the Super Bowl. Look mm-hmm. at everything that they have. The only problem with it is, if you don't win the Super Bowl, then what? Was your season a disappointment? Was your season not successful? Because when you that's high standard. And to me, there's really only one team that can set that standard in the NFL. That's Kansas City.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Kansas City is the only team.
And maybe it's changed with me as I've gotten, you know, older, not necessarily wiser. But this whole you know, if they don't win the championship, they don't win the Super Bowl, it's a bust. If they would go, they could, you know, go 13-4, as John said, 14-3, and win a couple of playoff games and lose the NFC championship. Yeah, it would suck.
You can go to 14-3 and you're the Green Bay Packers and you lose in the first round
right.
of the playoffs.
Right.
What did 14-3 do for you?
It doesn't do
nothing.
But to sit there and say it's all the highs and all that kind of stuff, it's to me, that stuff
but
is...
But you get the ultimate low by losing in the playoffs.
I know.
No, you get the ultimate low.
I understand that.
See, here's the thing. Not that anybody asked me, but people were like, weren't you disappointed that the Niners lost? I was like, no. Because for me, the goal was you got to make the Super Bowl.
That to me should
now,
be the goal.
Kyle Shanahan screwed it up in overtime, but you have to make it. They did. They played a historic game. It wasn't pretty, but and they lost to Patrick Mahomes.
If the Lions do not make the Super Bowl, I will be very disappointed, assuming the season takes the progression that we expect. But but to me, they don't have to win it. I just want to see a team improve. Now, the following year, they have to win it.
No,
because I'm taking it one step at a time.
I'm glad you said that, Stoney, because I'm going to ask you, the listeners out there, you Lions fans, you're listening. I know you are. Stoney said, if they make the Super Bowl and they lose, season still a success. Mm-hmm. Because when you say Super Bowl or bust, that means that anything less is a bust, okay? My question to you, at what point in the season is it a success no matter what? Stoney says, if the Lions make it to the Super Bowl and they lose, you don't want them to, but if they lose, you still look at it as great season.
Mm-hmm.
Great season. Wasn't the desired outcome, but damn proud of these guys. What's that point for you, Lions fans? At what point in the season is it a success, no matter what, that it becomes house money? After this point, man, I don't really care what happens. 248-539-9797.
There is nothing like being a football fan, as you have witnessed a few times in your life, more than a few. When your favorite team at the time gets introduced or takes the field of the Super Bowl for the first, it's just there's something. And when I was more of an Eagle fan than before I moved here, it's incredible the feeling you get when your team is in the Super Bowl. Yeah, you lose and it sucks. I remember the first one the Eagles got to, they lost. They got killed by the Raiders. It sucked and all that stuff. And I'm usually a pessimist. I thought for sure they were going to win. It sucked, but just seeing them on the field, coming out of the tunnel at the Super Bowl, we have no idea. We've never even come close to seeing it. Well, we came close last year. You don't understand what I'm saying, though. It's something you've never seen before. And that, to me, is worth everything.
248-539-9797. At what point in the season does it become house money that no matter what they do, it is deemed a success? For me, I'm going to say this. I know it's Super Bowl or bust, but I do know a lot of luck takes place. It's the NFC Championship game. You have to make it back. Making it back to the NFC Championship game means that last year was not a fluke.
Oh, right.
That's last for sure. Year was not a one-off type of thing, and now you're going to fade into obscurity.
Well, I think if they win the division, it proves that the season last year was not a fluke.
See, I don't even think the division means anything. Tony, because when right. you know this, is it, when you're good,
yes.
who cares who won True. The division? But, it's how but, far you made it in the playoffs.
But when you have a history like the Lions, the fact that they could come up with back-to-back seasons where they'd win the division means something. Here.
No,
see, because many people never thought they'd even see that.
It shouldn't.
Kenny, did you ever think you'd see the Lions win the division 2 years in a row?
It's been ingrained into my brain since I was a small child watching Joey Harrington. This team's never going to win anything.
Okay, so that means something. It's not obviously it's not everything, but it means something.
So at what point is it failure? At what point is it, you know what? It still was a good season, even though they made it this far. Because, look, it takes some luck to win the Super Bowl. If you look at everything,
oh,
you
yes.
look at what Kansas City and the stuff that had to happen, and the Niners linebacker basically didn't popping his Achilles, running out on the field celebrating
oh, yeah.
right before the half.
Like, well, the year before, if they didn't call that questionable penalty on the Eagles for holding, hey, Hurts might have had a chance to right. take him down the field and win that game.
So can you make it back to the NFC title game? Or, heck, I saw the Niners. It's the reason why you have the emergency quarterback. When they literally pulled the hot dog vendor out against the Eagles.
If Tart doesn't drop the ball against the Rams, you go to the Super Bowl, right?
That's true. So it takes luck. So therefore, that's why I'm like, Super Bowl or bust? No. To me, you make it to the NFC championship game, win or lose. Successful
now,
season.
Now, is that every year or does it stop after two? Like, if they would go this year.
Oh, 3 years in a row? Yeah. Okay, then, yeah, it gets amped up.
Right.
But for me, this coming season.
That's fair.
NFC Championship game, if you're a Lions fan, that's what I see.
That's fair.
I know it's not the Super Bowl, but it means you're for real. You're legitimate. You didn't fall off the way the Eagles fell off.
I'd be disappointed, but it certainly wouldn't be a major failure.
Right. So 248-539-9797. Get your phone calls, your ticket text next. 97.1.
Thank you, Chris. Tonight, kickoff NFL season, NBC. Chiefs, Ravens from Arrowhead. It's from Arrowhead for the second year in a row. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who will be calling the game and will be at Ford Field Sunday for Sunday Night Football's Lions-Rams game is the one, the only, Mike Tirico. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Gentlemen, happy football season. How are we doing?
We're doing great. Before we start with football, I just want to say, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, you were unbelievable at the Olympics. Every person who watched that, whether they're man, woman, or child, all they talked about besides the competition was how great Mike Tirico was. And no surprise, but unbelievable. And you knew everything.
Well, that is super nice. Thank you. We're a team effort. You guys know that, right? Yep. And we all live it in our business in football and every walk of professional life. And our team just gave us a chance to enjoy the Olympics, and it was great. I'll tell you the most satisfying part of it, guys, honestly, the Olympics still matter to America. And after the last three or four, we weren't sure because it just didn't have the same energy, the same following. And fans were great. Team USA was great. Viewers were awesome. And it was a thrill to be a part of it. And I want to say I can't wait for LA 28, but we've got a couple of good football seasons between now and then. So we're looking forward to LA 28 for sure.
Was there any consideration, because you're going to be in Kansas City tonight, you're going to be in Detroit, yeah, which is right down the road. Yeah. How come you're not in Brazil?
Yeah, I know. Couldn't sneak Friday in Sao Paulo in along the way. The game's in good hands with Noah Eagle and Todd Blackledge. Honestly, if this wasn't the opening game, I would have loved to have done that game because that's – those international games are cool. We're lucky enough to do an Olympics in Brazil back in 2016 in Rio and do a World Cup in Rio in 2014. And it's a great sports country. People are passionate. It's just a beautiful place. I wish we could have done that game. But, hey, let me tell you, Arrowhead for the opener for the second straight year, and then Ford Field Sunday night is pretty damn cool.
I do have a follow-up to that, because sports has taken me places that I'd never imagined I would go, and you're coming off on the heels of the Paris Olympics. You talked about Brazil and how you'd love to be there for that game. Where is the coolest place sports has taken you?
Wow. That's a good one. I would say probably Beijing. Probably to be sitting in China during COVID when they weren't allowing Americans in or anybody in for that matter. That was probably, you know, the most unique and special experience that I've had in terms of a place like that. I love, John, what I love about my job is that I've gotten to know America. Come to Kansas City, you're not going, okay, where's this, where's that? It almost every major league city, because doing the NBA too over the years, you get there and you feel like you have this working knowledge of the city. And there's so many of us talk about travel in the world. I've always wanted to travel America. When I was a kid, I wanted to see all 50 states, and I'm a Dakota shy of all 50. But I've loved getting to see and know America too. So that's it. But the bigger place where I never thought I'd find myself would be either Beijing or North Korea, or South Korea, excuse me, for the Olympics.
Yeah. So tonight, Chiefs Ravens. The Chiefs are favored by 3 points right now.
Yeah.
Does last year, the fact that they lost the opener, does that stick in their craw a little bit that they won't be surprised? Not that the Ravens were there. They played in the AFC Championship game last year.
Yeah. I mean, hasn't been mentioned once in the 3 days I've been here. Now, if they lose the game, it's going to come up. Or if they're losing, certainly it'll come up. But not mentioned once. I think just because you've got they're going for the three-peat. Two, you've got a rematch of the AFC Championship game, a game they won on the road. Remember, Kansas City done all their winning on the way to these Super Bowls at home, and then had to go on the road after that frigid 6-below wildcard game we did against Miami, and they did. They won at Buffalo, they won at Baltimore, and here they were back in the Super Bowl. I think, like, football-wise, guys, we can talk about Kansas City if you want in a bit. I think the really unique thing with Baltimore is, let's say you're Leo Chanel, one of the linebackers, or Nick Bolton, one of the linebackers, or Drew Tranquil, the three linebackers for the Chiefs. When the Ravens come out on first down, you're going to stand there in your linebacker position. You're going to look behind the center, and you're going to see Lamar Jackson, he's played the quarterback position in one of the most, if not the most unique way the last 5 or 6 years. And behind him is Derrick Henry. There's no running back like him. John, as you know, it's 6'3", 247.
Yeah.
You're going to see a backfield the likes of which you've never seen before. Now, can Baltimore access all that's possible with those guys? I don't know if they have the offensive line to. I don't know if they're going to get there later on in the season. But that could be one of the most unique combinations we've ever seen in a backfield. And if they're right, they could do some really, really good things this year. On top of a team that, guys, was 12-5 and the best in the NFL last year. Baltimore had the best record in the league. People forget that. They could do some really good things. I don't think they'll be there tonight, but as the season goes on, watch that closely.
Well, as the season goes on, and let's just keep it in the AFC, who's the biggest threat to Kansas City?
I think these guys. I do. You know, look, we all know Jim. Jim's going to do things with the Chargers. There's going to be a toughness to that team. He's going to get Herbert to a level that probably is better than anybody else has. That's just what Harbs has done everywhere he's been, right? But in the rest of that division, is anybody going to threaten Kansas City? Probably not. In the South, Houston is very, very good. We get them week two against Chicago. They are an excellent team. Their roster is even better. Let's see if they make the year two progression or if it's not an even fit. But other than them, in the South, I don't think Indy's on this level. The other team's there. The North, you got the Ravens. No Steelers, quarterback question. Cincinnati, what's happening with Chase? Cleveland, is Deshaun Watson going to be Deshaun Watson from 4 years ago now? So I think Kansas City is the favorite to get back in the AFC. The East, Rodgers health, I don't know. Miami, good. Can they win in cold weather? And Buffalo, I think, doesn't have the same talent that they did a year ago. I still like that team, but I don't know if they're better than they were this time last year. So I think this is kind of a Kansas City team to beat, and Baltimore right after them.
Mike Tirico, NBC Sports, of course, living in Ann Arbor, joins us here on the Costa and Jansen program. Stoney here in for Jim. Now, let's talk about the NFC. It's not just the Detroit homerism here. Everybody nationally, the cover of Sports Illustrated, believes in the Detroit Lions. Are the Lions, in your opinion, the best team in the NFC?
They're right there. Right there with San Francisco. San Francisco is still very good. It wasn't just the comeback with San Francisco. The 49ers have been a good team here. They've been the most consistent team the last 4 or 5 years. But just getting ready in the NFC. Just getting ready for the Lions game on Sunday. And, you know, when you have two games in a short period of time, I usually prep the first one and then leave that to the side for a couple of days and come back to the one that's more immediate. So just looking through the Lions and get ready for the game against the Rams, it's the same team. The offense is the same. Yes, you make a change at guard. Yes, you know, you have a different third receiver. But you look at this team, when you go year to year, you usually go, okay, we got a lot of changes to make. This is 5 new guys, 6 new guys. It's the same team on offense where they were a top 5 offense for the most part, and they are better on defense. They're just better. Linebacker questions are answered. They'll improve. Inside, if healthy, they will be better up there. And the secondary remake is, on paper, fabulous. So you look at all those things, you cannot walk away and say the team is just as good as the team that was within a quarter or a defensive stop or a fourth down conversion to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, they're right there with the team that was there last year, San Francisco, as teams to beat in the NFC, which is different, right? There's mm-hmm. a different temperature, different atmosphere in the room when you're the one who is the team to beat, and that's going to be part of the joy of watching this season play out, I think, with the Lions.
Well, and the fun part about it is you start off with the Rams, you start off with an NFC team, and you're already thinking about possible tiebreakers in the playoffs. And I know it's way too early, but I mean, when in our lifetimes have we had a chance to think about these things? And I'm curious, because if the Lions do start quickly, and we always try and figure out, okay, how do they overtake San Francisco? Because they were the team that went to the Super Bowl. Is there concern at the beginning of the season for San Francisco that Brock Purdy didn't look great in the preseason, albeit preseason, that Ayuk wasn't there, Trent Williams wasn't there, and there's a difference of being in shape versus football shape, and then everything that's going on with, obviously, Ricky Pearsall won't be there.
Right. Yeah, their pieces aren't whole. No doubt about it. Everything you brought up is legit, John. You know, I've looked at these teams over the years. When you've been there 3 or 4 times in a row, sometimes it's okay for a Trent Williams not to be in camp. Yeah. I like a happy Brandon Ayuk, right? It's probably going to be a Deebo Samuel, you know, who's motivated as well as his future gets figured out here over the next year or two with what he's doing contractually. All that stuff plays in. There's that drama. Anytime you have a really good team, you're going to have those kind of things going on, save what happened to Pearsall. And thank goodness he's alive and he's lucky that he is and all that stuff. But when you put all that in the blender, San Francisco's been through this, so a lengthy run through a regular season to build to the playoffs feels a little different. And same thing with Detroit now. Like, I think it feels a little bit different because you're not as worried about, oh my gosh, they've got to be 4-1 coming into week 5 and week 6. As long as they're in the playoffs, they can beat anybody anywhere. Do you want home field? Of course you do. But do you trust this team to go win on the road? Absolutely. So I think you just look at it through a different prism. Mm-hmm. This team's fine. As long as they keep Goff healthy, keep the key people healthy, depth in the receiver room obviously is that one place that you go, man, if they lose one, that's really where they don't have a direct answer at the moment. Other than that, this team stays healthy. This should be at least a 10, 11, 12 win team. It feels weird to say it, I know. But it's just a different feeling going into the season. A lot of the calls you guys are going to get is when they're not perfect, how disappointed people are. And last year's team was bad. It's just going to be that strange change of emotions with this team, which is the joy of having a great football team. And Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have built an excellent, excellent football team.
Give me one team from each conference who it will be a major surprise making the playoffs.
Good one. Jets wouldn't count as a surprise, I would imagine, for people.
Right.
But I think with halfway decent quarterback play, they were a playoff team last year. So I might give you that. In the AFC, I think because everybody's been around, I don't know if there's a surprise team necessarily. I would say maybe Indianapolis, but the quarterback play there has me a little uncertain of saying that. Well, give me the Chargers. Let me give you the Chargers. I think Jim might be able to hard-nose that team and get Herbert to maximize his skill. And in the NFC, guys, I'm buying the Commanders.
So that was mine.
I am buying. Is it? Okay, I didn't know that. I am buying the Commanders. We had them in the preseason. The atmosphere is great. Dan Quinn's built a good team. I like their defense. They added veterans on defense. Quarterback's the real deal. I haven't seen Caleb Williams yet in Chicago. We'll see him week two. But I saw Jaden Daniels and got a chance to watch him practice, got a chance to visit with him, hear the people around that building. That guy's the real deal, man. I think he's a star quarterback in the making. So I'll give you the Commanders as my certain in the NFC, and I'll waffle on the AFC.
Well, being an Arrowhead on tonight and then Ford Field Sunday, hopefully your ears will be, your hearing will be okay by Monday morning.
Absolutely. Look forward to the start of the season. Look forward to not having all of Detroit hating me on Friday morning after the opener this year. That'll be great. look forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun. If the Lions win game one, I don't plan out calls, right?
Yes.
But if the Lions win opening night, I've got one for you, for everybody who had a little fun at my expense, and rightfully so last year. I got one for you Sunday night if they win. So it's up to your team. Lions win on Sunday night. I got one just for all of you to kind of wink back at Metro Detroit. Hey, what a great time to have awesome football and look forward to a season like this. And how about our Tigers? Still alive in September.
Yeah. Well, last night really screwed them, I think.
I know. They
blew that game.
No, but there's an excitement we haven't had in September in a decade. Know.
Yes, it's true. Hey,
the Guardians just played the Royals, and the Guardians are in our hotel. And I saw Matt Boyd in the lobby on Tuesday. I'm like, hey, man, when you get in there, can you just do a solid for the old English D, man? Just make sure you guys take care of business when you play these other teams. It's good to see hope. There's hope everywhere. Let's enjoy the fall.
One final thing for all those who aren't huge football fans, but if they tune in tonight, there'll be a Taylor Swift sighting in the suite tonight?
I would imagine so. We actually, Travis Kelce talked about being on stage at Wembley because during the concert in England during the Eras Tour International part, he came out and lifted Taylor and carried her over as part of the show and top hat and tails and the whole deal. And he talked about that a little bit, so we'll share that during the game. But it's pretty funny. Here's the one thing. Chris Sims interviewed Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick said, Taylor's like starting to understand football at a different level, like asking Mahomes, like, why didn't you do that? Or why didn't you do this on a play? Which is pretty funny. So Mahomes said, hey, are you trying to draw plays? And he challenged her to draw up a play. And as silly as these guys are, they'd put it in, and it would work. That's what the Lions, seriously, guys, John, you know this, like the joy in the journey gets lost when you're good year in year. That's what the Chiefs have. You go in their building, and there is still joy, and it feels fresh. And that's going to be the thing that helps the Lions. They got a guy in Dan Campbell and a building that keeps it happy and enjoyable and love coming to work. And man, you feel that with this team as much as any team I've been around Kansas City. That's why part of the reason that they're so damn good this long. But Taylor will be here, and I'll send her your best, Sony.
Oh, thank you. And Mahomes should change her set list. That's what he should do. If she wants to call plays, he should alter the set list.
Write her a song.
But Bruce was doing the whole same set list on the last tour.
I know.
You know that.
I know.
It bothered both of us.
Yes.
But somebody told me it's like a lighting thing now, that the lighting and the staging of the show is so big that sometimes it's hard to just change lighting or set list for shows the way you used to. I don't know. Just that's what I was told. Yeah. Whatever.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great broadcast. Great talking to you again. And thanks for everything as always.
It is great to hear both of you guys. And miss you all, and look forward to seeing you back home soon.
All right. I'll see you Sunday.
You guys. See you Sunday, pal. Take care.
All right. Mike Tirico, NBC Sports, joining us. Costa and Jansen, 97.1 The Ticket. Why don't you just tell me who it is?
Baker Mayfield's Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
According to Pro Football Talk, they're the fifth best team in the NFC.
Yes.
Okay.
For week one with the power rankings. Behind the Lions, they have the power rankings for all the NFL. Number one is Kansas City. Number two, the Detroit Lions. Number three, Green Bay. Number four, San Francisco. Number five, the Ravens. Number six, the Eagles. Followed by the Bengals and Bills. And then coming in at number nine, I asked you during the break, I said, what team do you think comes after the Eagles in terms of the NFC? And you listed off a bunch of teams that I think a lot of people would have said, like the Rams, yep, checking at 17, or the Dallas Cowboys, who check in at 19. You even said, please God, don't say the Bears. And I said, no, and they come in at 13. And you said, why don't you just tell me who it is? Tampa Bay at number 9.
Well, it's based on that uniquely average quarterbacking of Baker Mayfield at 17, one spot ahead of Jared Goff, according to the Athletic's QB power rankings. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Leon next here on 97.1. Hi, Leon.
Hey, you guys. How's it going?
What's up?
I was calling because I forgot an old 92 whatever. I would not have deleted my social media or anything. I would have just said, hey, I shot my mouth off. I was wrong, but I ain't eating nothing out of nothing. Think of me what you will.
Yeah.
But also, and I'm serious about that. Hey, I was wrong, but I ain't eating poop. Sorry.
I think it's a given.
Yeah.
I mean, if he'd said that, then basically that would go viral today and the story would be over. Instead, he's a man on the run right now, and everybody on the internet that cares about this is chasing him down. He will be outed.
Which is foolish on both parts. But I also called about the gentleman who called and said that a lot of times we make excuses. We're trying to cover up our own excuses for ragging on somebody like they did Jared Goff out of the L.A. We're guilty of that in Detroit, too. And you and your broadcasting partner are guilty. And I say this because I know you guys are truly Detroit fans. But you discount the fact that Matthew Stafford is the best quarterback Detroit has ever had, stat-wise.
But he's not.
But he is. Who's better?
Jared Goff has had a better year.
Had a better year.
Mm-hmm.
Not a better years.
Well, he's been here for 3 seasons.
You're talking about career.
I'm not going to argue that. You're right. Oh, yeah. Career, absolutely. Matthew Stafford is, without question.
But that's not the way you guys phrase it. Jared Goff has got better stats for a year and a half. His first year and a half was not. But the thing about it is we tend to rag on Matthew Stafford and forget about his accomplishments. And every time I hear us Detroit fans do that, it puts me in mind of – let's say Jahmyr Gibbs. Let's say they win the Super Bowl next year. And then we're saying, oh, Jahmyr Gibbs, the best running back. He has an integral part in the winning of that Super Bowl. Does that make him the best quarterback Detroit, the best running back in Detroit?
Well, hold on, Leon. I don't know that anybody – there has been zero discussion over who is the better quarterback in the totality of their careers. It was more about the current rankings.
No, that's what we're talking about today, but I'm talking about, I listen to the show faithfully. I love you two guys, and I can say this to you because other hosts I don't think really are Detroit fans. I think you two are. But I've heard that come out of you two, you and...
Well, Leon, I would say this. Doug has been probably the biggest proponent of Matthew Stafford, so I don't know if he fits in that. And if you, so then
maybe
would be,
not. You're right.
I would be more in line with the one that would say that he's not.
He's done nothing. He did nothing for us. He was nobody to us. Wait a minute.
Well, they went to what, 3 playoff games with Matthew Stafford and didn't win any of them.
Uh huh.
We don't have to hash through this again.
We're about to do the embargo again.
I mean, you know, you could be, but I guess the difference is that Barry Sanders is like arguably the greatest of all time on a team that went really nowhere, but did win a playoff game, by the way. And Matthew Stafford was maybe the best Lions quarterback we had prior to Goff getting here.
I'm speaking as a Lions, Detroit fan, as a Lions fan. Yes, I'm not talking about any other quarterbacks. Those rankings that you guys are upset about, I'm upset about them too. I think whoever made them has a mental disorder.
Well, Leon, I guess if their argument is over stuff you've heard on the station, I'm not going to speak to anybody else's argument. And I shouldn't have probably even brought up the Goff ranking in the first place because I genuinely don't care. It's more laughable to me, and it has no impact on reality. And the only impact on reality that it may have is Jared Goff may see it. And if Jared Goff sees it, because I said something yesterday, and I ran it past Kang, and I did not run it past you, Gator. but I'm going to run it past you now. And Kang said to me, he goes, I don't know how many people are like you. The Lions are playing a game Sunday against the LA Rams. And to me, I think it's appropriate to talk about who the LA Rams quarterback is only in the context of this football game. And the following week, the Lions play Tampa. And I think we should talk about Baker Mayfield only in the context of the football game. And I think the week after that, it's Arizona, and we'll talk about Kyler Murray, and then it's Dallas, and we'll talk about Dak Prescott, and so on and so forth. I don't feel the necessity or the audience thirst for Stafford topics this week, other than he is the quarterback of the team that the Lions are going to play. And Kang said, I don't know if people are like you. And I said, well, we've done the whole he's come back to town thing. And what kind of put a nice, neat bow on it from our perspective as Detroiters was winning the game and carrying on in our very healthy place as a football organization. I don't feel compelled, and I asked Kang off the air, and he goes, I'm not sure people are like you, Doug, and I'm asking you on the air. We don't really need to do the Stafford's back in town topic, do we? It's been done. It was what it was. We sort of had to lift the embargo because we did Stafford topics for the better part of the last 8 years of his career in Detroit. But we don't need to do this again, right? Or do you disagree?
I would disagree. I think it's another year. It's the last they played each other in the postseason in the playoff game. It was fantastic, and there was something that came out of it. Because I suppose if Matthew's wife wasn't so self-important about things and wanting to advance this agenda and all that, then maybe we could let it go. So, but she opened up her mouth, and I think it opens it up for what's going to happen on Sunday. Yeah, so, how are they going to be treated? Because it is something that's going to be talked about.
I feel like I'm doing Matthew Stafford a solid, but also doing myself a real service as well. I pay no attention to what this player's wife has to say. I don't care what this player's wife has to
say. That's fine. And going into this week, we're going to try not to. But at some point, I'm going to guess that there's going to be some statement made, and we're going to address it. We don't have to go hunting it.
Do we
don't have to seek it out.
Is Baker Mayfield married? Are we going to talk about Baker Mayfield's wife says?
I don't know. Did Baker Mayfield play for the Lions for 11 years?
I know.
I mean, it's a big difference.
I know, but we did it ad nauseum last year.
Yeah, and now we want to throw it back in the face because we can't, because the Lions won. Lions fans want to be chesty about it.
Doug, it's always going to be, I know you don't like it, but it's always going to be part of the story. It just is, because, and Kelly Stafford has said something already kind of Gator on her podcast. She did announce that her and the children will not be attending the game at Ford Field Sunday night when the Rams play the Lions.
Wait. Go ahead. You tell the people what you saw on Twitter. Before she made that announcement, somebody posted on Twitter.
Yeah, this is great. This needs to be on the air. So, you know, last year, obviously, Kelly Stafford was, you know, she was upset. She thought people were booing her children.
Right, which is ridiculous. They're not booing your kids. They're booing you.
Going on viral right now on Twitter is people are like, I just want to be clear. We are not booing Kelly Stafford. We're not booing Matthew Stafford. We will boo the children when they come here, okay? Just to make this clear, everybody, we're booing the kids, right?
That's funny.
But you can't boo the kids anymore because they're not coming either. So that's according to her podcast. But Doug, the Matthew Stafford story is always going to be a story because this is the ex-girlfriend, ex-wife, whatever you want to call it. You may be married, you may have moved on, but that doesn't change the relationship you had with that woman when she walks in the door.
But you're dating a more successful, better-looking woman who loves you more now.
Sure, absolutely.
And it does more for you.
That's all true. But also what's true is that you used to be with that other one.
Yeah, and you want to throw it in their face that what you've got right now is better.
I'm that way, and I don't need, I'm perfectly,
hey, I can't, look, in real life, I can try to avoid the ex, right? I don't right? have, but yes. this is totally different. She's coming to town.
Yeah. But
what am I supposed to do? I can't
run
away.
She's coming to my house.
She's right there.
It's not uncomfortable for us. We're perfectly comfortable right now. It might be uncomfortable for the ex.
You can't ignore her. She's right there.
She's right there, Doug.
I ignore her. And you should, too. You're in a better place.
You can't ignore it. All I'm saying, look, I think fans are going to react.
You're not a vindictive person.
Well, some people I am. But I have no real ill will towards Stafford. But here's the thing. You could fuel it up if you wanted to. Somebody asked to leave. Somebody wanted out. Okay?
Yep.
And it's been much to the betterment of the Detroit Lions. It was also to the betterment of the Rams. They won a Super Bowl. But we got Goff. We got to restart. We had a couple first-round picks out of it. We parlayed that into more picks, and now we've built this team up to where they have arguably the best roster in football. I love what's happened. It doesn't mean I'm not going to rub the nose into it.
See, I'm not feeling the necessity to do that. It doesn't improve my day in any way.
How did you start this conversation?
I don't remember. That was four minutes ago.
You said, maybe I'm different.
I think I said, maybe I'm wrong. But either way, yes.
Either way, yes. You're different and you're wrong.
So you think not only should we do it, you think people thirst for Stafford content this week?
I think people desperately want to rub it in his face that he chose to leave and the Lions are better off because of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So have at it, man.
Well, there's three of us that determine the topics. Well, that's not true. The fans determine the topics. I guess we'll find out how important it is to them. As the week carries on, it's Carson Anderson, Open Lines, 97.1.
You know, here's a tip. When you retire, stay retired. I promise you, you'll never see me unretire. When I'm gone, I'm gone. Have at it. I don't care who sits here next. Let's get to the point. David, I know you have ticket techs. But we need to start this 3 o'clock hour, and we need to do this right. The NFL kicks off tonight. It's Chiefs-Ravens premium matchup. You heard what I said to finish that segment. This is very, very simple to me. And in the words of a wise man, who I might be related to, I am at risk of falling into something. You know, Rico, I've been told only a Sith speaks in absolutes. Obi-Wan Kenobi. The point I'm making is I am speaking in an absolute. The Lions winning Super Bowl. I believe it. There's no hesitation. There's no hyperbole. I'm saying it with my chest. But my thing is I want to know who in listener land actually believes. Because it's one thing to believe in your heart. It's one thing to go, hey, we can do this. It's another to say we will. And then have all your coworkers make fun of you when you're wrong.
You know what? I don't think people are going to make fun of you, Mike. This morning, watching Good Morning Football, somebody picked the Lions to win the Super Bowl. A couple had the Lions in the Super Bowl. ESPN, the Lions are the pick to at least make the game. A lot agreed with you that this is going to be Detroit's year.
But case in point, do you know why Jim Costa likes Kenny Cott?
Why?
Because he's a pussycat. Cott did the hedge.
Oh.
Lions make it, but they lose. That's the Stoney. That's shaking both hands. No, to hell with that. I want to know right here, right now. We kick off the NFL season. Are you willing to say Lions are doing this? Guys, I don't care what the past is. I don't care what preceded this. I think they have the right coach. They have the continuity on the coaching staff. You have an elite offensive coordinator and, at minimum, an ascending defensive coordinator. You have more of the league's top 50 under 25 players than anyone in the sport. You have an elite offensive line. You get high-level to borderline elite quarterback play. Elite skill weapons everywhere. Best tight end in football, a conversation about the best receiver in football, and one of the ascending superstars that makes up, in my opinion, the best backfield in football. Defensively, yes, there are questions. Are they getting better? Absolutely. Did they get better this offseason? Absolutely. Guys, 13 of the games are indoors. You've got the best home field advantage in the entire NFC. It's now. It's Super Bowl or bust. And if they don't win it, this season's a failure. I'm not talking about moral victories. I'm not talking about memories or we came so close. No. It's happening or it's not. There's no sort of pregnant. they're winning the Super Bowl.
See, it's funny. Because yesterday, while you were here, I said, because we did that Super Bowl or bust type of thing, and I said, you know what? Because it's so difficult, Mike, and you follow football long enough, if you make it back to the NFC Championship game, it takes a little bit of luck to actually win the Super Bowl. Yep. It's like making it to the Final Four.
You'd know all about that, wouldn't you?
Okay.
So, look, I want to throw a number out. And if I got a battle,
write this.
Yeah, you write that down. If I got to battle Rico and Kenny and David in-house, I will. But I want to hear from you guys. And, yeah, we'll do bold-ass NFL predictions, but why not just start out with the boldest one of all, that the Chicago Cubs of football are going to win the World Series. They're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, I think that is bold. I think it's bold to say any team's winning the Super Bowl because Rico's right. It's so damn hard. But I think they're built right. I think the moment is now. And I'm willing to say it, and if you want to make fun of me, make fun of me. But I want to know if you're willing to say it. Not that we could or might or we got a shot. No, do you believe in your heart?
Say it with your chest.
Yeah, it's going down. It's happening. That we're going to be doing – me and Evan are going to be on a parade float, and I'm going to get a slot machine on that parade float for Ed. He won't have to look at anybody, but he can focus on the slot machine as we cruise down Woodward and confetti flies. Gummied out of his mind. 248-539-9797. David, go ahead, start with you. You're the meanest one of the bunch.
I just don't see them getting to the Super Bowl this year. I still have question marks with the defensive end. I've been saying this all offseason. They didn't address it, and I think that will be that concern will come up big late in the season and into the playoffs. They need someone opposite of Aiden. I just don't see it. I understand where people are coming from when they say it, when you say it. I get it. But getting there is tough. I don't think they get there, let alone win it.
Mitch, wow. Kenny, your thoughts?
He's occupied.
Okay. With what? His food?
Phone call.
With the phone.
Oh, well, kudos, Kenny. Thank you.
I'll say this. I agree with David. In order to win the Super Bowl, Mike, you got to have defense. You're going to need games, especially late in the playoffs, where you can keep a team under 20 points. I don't know if the Lions have that type of defense. Can they score with anybody? Absolutely. One of the best offenses in the game. But there's a reason why Eric Coryell and the San Diego Chargers never won a title. They were entertaining. They couldn't stop anybody. And I think that come the playoffs, yeah, you know, Ford Field is a house of horrors, but the fans don't go on the field. The fans don't make defensive stops.
We could.
Well, you get arrested for that.
They can't stop everybody. 60,000 people want to make it happen? No, pick that flag up.
I don't think they have the defense to win the Super Bowl. I think that they have. They'll make the playoffs, but I do think that, you know, I got them losing to the Packers in the playoffs.
248-539-9797. David, let's get some ticket texts while Kenny answers the phones.
Oh, I just cleared that up. What are we doing here? We're winning the Super Bowl? That's the prediction?
Well, I had said that there's a reason you and Costa are close. It's because you're a pussycat, and he loves cats. You just did the Stoney. Oh, the Lions will make the Super Bowl but lose. Not a hell with that hedge. Say it with your chest. No hedging.
Maybe maybe in the bye week, maybe halfway through the season, but right now, man, the Chiefs, I mean, I think they do what no other team has ever done in the history of the NFL is win three-peat. That's where I'm at. And once you get to the Super Bowl, basically anything can happen. It turns into a wacky world once you're there. I can't say it with my chest just yet.
Okay, so here's my deal. Does Kenny represent you, the Lions fans? Say it. We ain't talking what's your favorite cupcakes. Say it. Does Kenny represent you? Are you scared? Because the reality is, this is a new world you're stepping into. This is the first day being out of prison for you. You were locked up for 60 years. And now you turn around and go, wait a second. I don't have to ask permission to go to the bathroom? No, you're a Super Bowl team.
No, Red.
It's the truth. It just, I want to know if Kenny actually represents you. Scared. Unwilling. Wavering. Skittish. Unnerved. You're just not willing to say it. Because to me, you can't make a credible argument that they are not one of the three teams in this league, four teams in this league, that has a claim to being a Super Bowl favorite. And look, am I taking a small leap of faith with the defense? Yes, I am. I admit that. But I think they've earned that leap. Because when you have players that are under the age of 25, those players have a knack for doing the following: getting better. This is not an older team. You're not relying on Brock Marion at safety. This is a different thing. You know, maybe this is the year Aiden gets 15 and a half sacks. Maybe this, you know, Brian Branch to me could be an all-pro player this year. I think Brian Branch could ascend to a Tyrann Mathieu, Troy Polamalu type role with this team. So
I agree. He's my favorite Lion. So
I'm willing to say it. I want to know, does Kenny represent you, or do I? I don't care. I'll be the lone wolf on it. I don't give a damn. I think the Lions will win the Super Bowl. So let's get after it. Unlike you, I'm not afraid to say it. If you're on the – oh, yeah, what was that, Coach? That's right. Say it with your chest.
No, no, put the clipboard over your face if you're going to say it.
Oh, the Applebee's commercial?
Yeah.
Not bad, B+.
You know what? I found it funny. Like, okay. I like when a guy can make fun of himself.
It's B+. It was good. It was good. You want to earn an A in commercial land, you got to be the Burger King song. I mean, come on.
Sticking your head? Yeah.
Oh, my, please.
Hi, Kenny.
Oh, boy. 248-539-9797. David, can we sample the Ticketex?
We sure can, because they are ripping Kenny.
Kenny, my adoring public.
Kenny, you're weak. You're the Lions fan, and you don't believe? You should take that hat off right now.
Is Kenny wearing a Lions hat?
Yes, he
is. The old school logo.
Take it off your head. Take it off your head. You don't deserve to serve food.
Kenny doesn't represent us. Kenny is a you-know-what. Lost his Detroit card. Lions by a million. We are winning the Super Bowl. Nate from Clawson.
That a baby, Nate. Say it with your chest. Tell a friend.
We are literally the greatest show 2.0. Yes, and our defense will be better this year. Kenny doesn't speak for me, Joe and
Fenton.
That's
right. You know what? Print up those T-shirts. Kenneth Cott doesn't speak for us. Sounds like an election ad.
No, Kenny is sharp and soft. Lions win the Super Bowl, and Mike, you are emboldened with me forever.
That's right. Kenny Cott is the reason the border crisis is here.
Does this mean you get your official Detroit card if the Lions win the Super Bowl?
I gave up even applying.
No more going back to New York. You're in the Detroit Hall of Fame right next to Lomas.
I got news for you. I'm like a minority in the 60s trying to get into Augusta National.
Oh.
I gave up on that process.
Okay.
You mean in 2024?
Okay, then.
Yeah, don't sit at the lunch counter, Mike.
Wow.
You might get a little wet.
Okay. Can we get this back on the tracks?
That's going to be a drop.
Kenny Cott's the reason your groceries are so expensive.
It does sound like a political ad. Kenny doesn't speak for me. He's no longer a Detroiter.
I'm Mike Valeni, and I approve this message. Paid for by the friends
Kenny
of
Kenny is Charmin soft.
Right? Kenny Cott's a bitch.
Oh, I love this. Someone's saying, after a lifetime of watching the Lions, Mike, let's just take it one game at a time.
No. No. That's not what this day part does.
That's lowered expectations.
If you want that, go listen to the Breakfast Morning or whatever the hell it's called. We don't do safe. I don't care about being wrong. I don't care about looking stupid. If you don't look stupid in this line of work, you never said anything in the first place. I've never been interested in that line of work. I believe it. Why am I not going to say it? It is what it is. It's your time. I don't think the Chiefs are just going to go and win a third. I think San Francisco has too much noise right now. And you know, I don't believe in the Eagles. I don't believe in the Cowboys. I think the Pack are going to be very tough, but there's no guarantee you even play them in the playoffs. I would buy all the stock I could. And look, go sideways. Go ahead. Make fun of me. What the hell are you making fun of me for? Believing in this team?
No.
Oh, what a sin.
No, the only way if it's massive injuries. Other than that, man, nobody knows. This is the fun part of the season. And you're not the only one. You're not on an island. A lot of people are picking the Lions to not just get to the Super Bowl, to win it all. My only thing is, it's the defense. If it were better, I could agree with you. But I don't think that it's there.
248-539-9797. We are going to get right to the phones. It is NFL kickoff. I've just set the tone today. Bold prediction, Lions win the Super Bowl. And does Kenny speak for you or do I? It's Team Mike or Team Kenny? Because Kenny's doing the old soft shoe. He's giving you the Sammy Davis Jr. He is. You know it.
Well, the Lions will make the Super Bowl and lose a close one.
No, Kenny, it's called mental health. If Kenny picks the Lions, he feels as if he's jinxing them.
I just want to know how David called me a homer during our predictions before, and now Mike's calling me a bitch. What happened here?
Listen. Yeah, I don't control what David says. That's a you and him issue behind the glass. I'm just saying, I know in your heart you believe they're winning it. You're afraid to say it. I don't respect that. You're better than that, Kenny Cop. Why are you so damn confident with Georgia in week one? How come you're not waiting until the middle of the season there, Kirby?
Because time and time again, they've shown they're elite. This is the first time I've ever seen the Lions as elite.
No. Listen, here's the deal. You went your whole life without them being reliable. Don't give me a two-year time span. Come on now. You know that.
That's just it, though. If you've been driving an unreliable car for 20 years, you wouldn't rely on it to suddenly get you to Massachusetts if you tried to drive there.
Why? You do every day.
It's got a different car.
Whoa, Jeff Rieger, 248-539-9797. Your phone calls next. Here's Rico about cinder blocks.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.